The title of this lecture is Iran in Prophecy. There's probably no Middle Eastern nation mentioned in the biblical prophecies to escape the attention of prophetic students than that of Iran, and that name is the ancient Persia. Now, many people have heard of Persia in the past, and so many have not heard of Iran. In actual fact, the name Iran is the ancient name of Persia, long before the Persian Empire ever existed. It comes from the ancient word Arian, which talks about people who were distinct from the Semitic peoples around them, such as Assyrians, Babylonians, Chaldeans, Jews, and others. So the name Iran really goes back many, many years, even before Persia. But up to about 1935, the area around Iran that we know of the region today by that name, it was known as Persia. So the two names are really tantamount to each other. So you can say Iran or you can say Persia. But really, when a person looks at the prophetic prophecies, I mean the prophecies, I should say, about this land, many people are amazed about them because they really have not studied them as much as they have about others concerning Babylon, Egypt, and the Jews and Israelites, of course. Yet, from a biblical point of view, Iran is one of the most important nations and peoples that we could possibly study about, particularly dealing with the time of the end, the period in which we are coming toward at the present, the period just prior to the second coming of Christ to this earth. If all of the prophecies would be put together in a proper, conspicuous way, you would find that Iran figures in to the overall prophetic scheme in a very profound way. All a person has to do is to study the prophecies, particularly those of the Old Testament, but put them into a context of what the New Testament says, in the book of Revelation in particular, that will occur at the end of the age. And all of a sudden, a person will begin to see that Iran, or if we want to say Persia, certainly does figure in very prominently. There are individuals even mentioned, one in particular, in the book of Daniel and Isaiah, who probably will have a significant role to play in the events preceding those of the time of the second coming of Christ. Indeed, if a person analyzes the prophecies very carefully, a person will find that there is a unique honor, or shall I say a special role, that the nation of Iran and the king of Iran, or the ruler of Iran or Persia, will have at the end of the age. If a person puts all of the prophecies together, he will come to see that the 10 kings mentioned in the book of Revelation, chapter 17 and 18, the 10 kings who will be associated with the beast power of Revelation 13, which will conquer the world, who will be the ones to take over Jerusalem, who will establish a capital city at Jerusalem, who will also have a capital at Babylon on the Euphrates. These 10 kings will finally be destroyed by a confederation of peoples coming from no other place than Iran, from Persia. Now, that is one of the reasons why these people, or this nation, becomes very prominent in biblical prophecy. And when a person, as I said before, puts together Revelation 13, 17, 18 with the Old Testament prophecies about Persia and about the kings of Persia, and with the book of Daniel coming in describing the time of the end, all of a sudden this nation of Iran takes on a significance that we probably have not realized before. And it is a nation which will exist just prior to the second coming of Christ. We even have this mentioned in the scripture as well. Really, there is very much prophecy about Iran, and it will pay us to reflect on what the Bible says will come out of the politics of Iran. Many of us today, no doubt, when you hear this lecture, will be able to read in the newspaper, no matter if it's 6 months from now that you hear this lecture, things occurring in Iran. And it's going to play a great deal of importance in politics, international politics in the world. We all know that great quantities of oil are in Iran. And if the spigot of oil is turned off in that country, many countries in Western Europe and in Africa, particularly South Africa and Israel and places like that, and even in the United States, will be influenced. So it is a very important country to take into consideration. And the Bible shows just how significant it really is when a person sees the overall prophecies about the end of the age. Let us now look at this nation and the prophetic role that Iran is destined to play at the end of the age. And I think this is where most of us are very interested in the subject today. So keep your newspapers very handy. Listen to what is happening and coming out of Iran and see if some of the things mentioned in the Bible are not really on the horizon for us today. Now, the prophet that speaks most of Persia, of Iran in the ancient days, was the person Daniel, who lived in the 6th century before the birth of Christ. He had quite a good deal of things to say about this nation of Persia. Now, if a person will look at the second chapter of the book of Daniel, where the great image was set up on the plains of Shinar, there were several divisions to that image. You know, it was an image of a man, like a golden man. The head was of gold and represented Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon. The breast was made of silver and represented Medo-Persia, with one hand representing one part of the kingdom, Persia, and the other hand of the statue representing the other part of the kingdom called Media. Media and Persia, both together, represented what we might call at that time the Persian Empire. We would call it today the modern Iran. Now, the next part of the image going down represented the Macedonian kingdom of Alexander the Great. And then finally we get down to the legs part, which represented the Seleucid kingdom in the north, which was up there north of Palestine, and the Ptolemaic kingdom in the south, which was down in Egypt. And these two kingdoms themselves were finally bridged into the feet part of this image, in which there were 10 toes. These 10 toes are the kingdoms that will exist at the end of the age. From a mountain, we will find a stone coming down the hill, which will gather momentum as it comes toward the image, and then it hits the image on the toes, on the base. Now, these 10 kings will exist at the end of the age, according to Daniel, because this stone that comes out of the mountain, that has its origin without hands, that is, no man makes this stone, it comes from God himself. Once this stone hits the image at its base, it topples over, and then the stone pummels the image into dust, and the wind comes along and blows it into the four corners of the earth. And the only kingdom that is left is this stone kingdom, and we would identify it with the kingdom of God. So this shows that the image that Daniel saw there in the plains of Shinar was a very important one. And the next important, shall we say, most significant nation underneath Babylon itself, being the head, was that of Persia, Medo-Persia. So Daniel shows how significant this nation could be. When a person turns in over to several chapters more in Daniel, particularly to Daniel chapter 7, we find that these nations again are mentioned. We find that in this case, it's another type of a vision, a great beast coming out of the sea. And in verse 4 of chapter 7, it says, "The first was like a lion." And this lion is identified with the Babylonian kingdom. In verse 5, it speaks about a bear. It raised itself up on one side. It had 3 ribs in its mouth and between its teeth. And these ribs said unto the beast, Arise, devour much flesh. Now, this bear is identified with this Medo-Persian empire that Daniel had seen recorded in Daniel chapter 2. The next beast that was seen in verse 6 is a leopard. Well, that's identified with the Alexandrian kingdom of the ancient world. And then in verse 17, there is a nondescript beast, which is identified with the iron beast of Revelation, I should say, Daniel chapter 2. But the one that we're interested in here is this one called the bear, equivalent to the silver part of the image in the plains of Shinar. And we find in chapter 8, however, that this second part of this image, or this beastly confederation of nations, is identified in chapter 8, and particularly in verse 20, with the Medo-Persian Empire. Now, this is what Daniel says. Now, the interesting thing about all of this is that Daniel says these kingdoms made up of the head of gold, Babylon, the silver part, the chest part and the arms made up of the Medo-Persian Empire, and then the thigh part, the middle part of the image, made up of the Macedonian kingdom, which has been equated with that of Alexander about 330 years before the birth of Christ, and then the legs and the toes. And all of these have a relevance, according to Daniel, which brings us up into our own time today. Now, this is the most important part of it. If an individual would look at Daniel chapter 7, it mentions that once this whole image, or these beasts, have been destroyed, the ten kingdoms and all of that, it still says in verse 12, concerning the rest of the beasts, that means the lion, the bear, the Medo-Persian, and the leopard, the Grecian Empire, and all of that, as concerning the rest of these beasts, they had their dominion taken away, yet their lives were prolonged for a season and a time. Now, how long were they prolonged? It says for a season and a time. Now, that's verse 12. But if a person would go on down to verses 15, 16, and 17 of Daniel chapter 7, he tells us something here that will bring us right up to modern times, at least the times just prior to the second coming of Christ to this earth, the time when the ten toes of the image will be destroyed. Here's verse 15 of chapter 7 of Daniel. I, Daniel, was grieved in my spirit, in the midst of my body, and the visions of my head troubled me. I came near unto one of them that stood by, now this is an angel called a watcher, and asked him the truth of all of this. So he told me and made me know the interpretation of the things. Now notice verse 17. These great beasts, which great beasts? The beasts being mentioned here in Daniel chapter 7. May I rehearse them once more? The first beast was a lion, that's verse 4, identified with Babylon. The second beast was a bear, verse 5, identified with Medo-Persia. And they are the ones we're talking about in this lecture. The second is Medo-Persia. Keep that in mind. The third is a leopard, verse 6. That's identified with Alexander the Great and the Macedonian or Greek kingdom. And then in verse 7, it speaks about a nondescript beast who was terrible and strong, exceedingly strong. It devoured and brake in pieces all of the others, and out of them, out of this, came a beast who was finally slain and destroyed by fire. And in Thessalonians, the Apostle Paul said that the flaming fire that will destroy this latter beast will be that associated with the second coming of our Lord. And this is when the ten toes, the ten kingdoms at the end of the age mentioned in Daniel 2 and also in Revelation 18 will be destroyed. We're going to find out in a moment who will do all of that. But while all of this is happening, here he is, Daniel, speaking about these beasts, the lion, the bear, the leopard, and the nondescript beast. Now, if the lion was Babylon, which it was, if the bear is Persia, which it was, if the lion was Greece, which it was, and if the nondescript beast represented the Seleucid kingdom, Syrian kingdom, if we want to call it that, north of Palestine, after the time of Alexander the Great, which it did, and the other part of the nondescript beast, the other leg, represented the Ptolemaic kingdom of the Egyptians, which existed after the time of Alexander the Great, which it did, then why is it that we find that Daniel says these beasts will be preserved until a season and a time? How long will they be preserved? Verse 17 of Daniel 7 explains, these great beasts which are four kings, or shall we say kingdoms, the two terms are synonymous in the Bible, which shall arise out of the earth, but the saints of the Most High shall take the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, even forever and ever. Daniel says these four beasts will arise out of the earth, and he includes the first beast, the lion, which was Babylon. Now, this is most interesting, because Daniel was uttering this in the 6th century B.C., already at the time when Babylon was at the height of its glory, as you'll find in the first verses of Daniel chapter 7 here. In fact, it says in the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, is when all of this vision was seen. The lion was already in existence? Yes. But at the same time, he says, these great beasts which are four kings or kingdoms which shall arise out of the earth. these four kingdoms are going to be in existence at the time when the beast is to be slain. The beast at the end of the age which comes against the Messiah. That is what it says in verses 11 and 12 of Daniel chapter 12. Daniel chapter 7. So to make a long story short, we find Daniel here saying there will be a lion kingdom at the end of the age, just prior to the second coming of Christ. There will be a bear kingdom, which was identified with Medo-Persia. There will be a leopard kingdom, identified with the Greeks. There will be a nondescript kingdom as well, identified with Egypt and with Syria. They're all going to be on the scene at the time the beast power, backed up by Babylon, and all of that will be destroyed. And that is what Daniel is saying. Now, if that's the case, should we not look then at these important nations, which are destined, according to biblical prophecy, to be in existence at the end of the age? It seems to me like that we should. And one of them is Medo-Persia, or as we would say in our modern parlance today, Iran. Now, what is happening in Iran? This is what we've got to look at, and I think you will find some very interesting things concerning this power at the end of the age. May I say one thing? In Daniel chapter 8, you'll find it's very interesting here that when Daniel records this information about Iran, as we call it today, he talks of two parts of Iran, one called Media, which was the northern part of Iran, and Persia, the southern part of Iran. This is Daniel chapter 8 and verse 20. So it seems to show that Iran, as a corporate nation today, may be in two parts by the time of the beast power coming on the scene. It may be. Now, there's present civil war taking place in Iran. We do not know the time schedule of when these things are going to occur. Of course, we do not. But at the same time, the Bible seems to indicate there's going to be two general separate divisions to the country of Iran, united under one banner at the end of the age. And this Iran is going to have a tremendous amount of impact and influence upon what will happen just prior to the second coming of Christ and soon after he does come here on this earth. Now, we're told in the Bible, both in the Old Testament and in the New, particularly in the book of Revelation, that the city of Babylon and the society, which is basically Babylonish, will be destroyed. Jeremiah, in the 6th century before the birth of Christ, spoke about the destruction of Babylon. In fact, it said all of the nations back at his time, in the time of Jeremiah, would be destroyed, and even Shishak is a cipher, that is a kind of a code name for the ancient people of Babylon. There's a reason for that. If anybody is interested to know the exact code, write us and we will tell you what it means from the point of view of the Bible. But in Jeremiah chapter 25, beginning in verse 15, you find a prophecy here uttered by Jeremiah in which he shows the kings of the earth or the peoples of the earth finally being destroyed back at that time. He even mentions in verse 25 that the Elamites and the Medes will also find their destruction. That was back in the 6th century B.C., and the power to destroy them back there was to be the Babylonians. But in verse 26, Jeremiah says that this Shishak, who is none other than Babylon, and as I said, that word Shishak is a cipher or a secret name for Babylon, it is going to drink after all the others drink of this wine of destruction. You'll have to read the whole of the chapter 25 of Jeremiah to see what it means. At the time this Shishak, or the Babylonian Empire, or this big image which has its head of gold in the plains of Shinar over in Babylon and all of that, the time it will be destroyed is a time when God has a controversy upon all the inhabitants of the earth. You can see that in verse 29 of Jeremiah 25. It says that God has a controversy with all the inhabitants of the earth. Verse 31, a noise shall come even to the ends of the earth, for the Lord hath a controversy with the nations. He will plead with all flesh. He shall give them that are wicked to the sword. And he goes on to explain what's going to happen really at the end of the age. Babylon will finally be destroyed. That's quite true. As it destroyed the nations back in the time of Nebuchadnezzar, the time of the 6th century B.C., But you know something? At the end of the age, there are certain powers to destroy this Babylonian kingdom, which will exist at the end of the age. In fact, we know from the book of Revelation, chapter 13, that this Babylonian empire will reach out and embrace the entirety of the world in its orbit. It is not coming from Rome. It is coming from the east. It's coming from Babylon. It's coming from Syria. It's coming from the Middle East, where the prophecies of the Bible have placed the people of prophecy. And most individuals today want to look to Europe. They want to look to Rome. They want to look to some church or to some man or whoever it is coming out of Europe. That is not the case according to the Bible at all. These things will happen in the Middle East, and one of the major Middle Eastern countries, obviously, is the one we're talking about in this lecture. It is the nation of Iran. But this Babylon is going to be destroyed. This Babylon, which will have its capital at Jerusalem for about 3.5 years, maybe a little longer than that. This man who will head the Babylonian kingdom and the whole world government will sit in a temple calling himself God, in a temple at Jerusalem. But God has said, or I should say Jesus Christ has said, in Revelation chapter 17, that this Babylonian kingdom, which has its authority centered in Jerusalem, will come to an end. By this, it does not mean that there will not be a Babylon on the river Euphrates. There will be a city of Babylon as well over there. Babylon on the Euphrates, Babylon in Jerusalem. One is spiritual, that's the Jerusalem Babylon, and the other is physical on the Euphrates. Both will be destroyed. But tell me, who is it that will destroy this Babylonian complex of nations which will control the world for a 3.5 year period at the end of the age? Well, we're told very precisely in the book of Revelation who will do it. If you'll look at the 17th chapter of the book of Revelation, and all of these verses in chapter 17, as well as those in 18, speak about the influence and power of the Babylonian kingdom to exist at the end of the age, and also how it will find demise, that is, it will come to an end and it will collapse. Who is it that will finally cause this Babylonian empire, stemming from Jerusalem and from Babylon on the Euphrates, to come to an end? Well, if you look at it very carefully, beginning in chapter 17 of the book of Revelation, verse 15, here's what we find. And he said unto me, this is the Lamb, by the way. In fact, let's begin in verse 14 so we can pick up the context. These 10 kings, which will exist at the end of the age, shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them. Now that Lamb is Jesus Christ, according to biblical revelation. For he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful. And he saith unto me, now that's this Lamb, it's Jesus Christ, the waters which you sawest, where the whore sitteth, the whore is identified with Mystery Babylon the Great, verse 5, where the whore sitteth are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues, and the 10 horns which you sawest upon the beast, these shall hate the whore, and they shall make her desolate and naked, and they shall eat her flesh and burn her with fire. Now notice what they're going to do. These 10 kings who were associated with the beast power, the great whore of Babylon, in her domination of the world, when the capital city was at Jerusalem, and also they had subsidiary forces at Babylon on the Euphrates, but these 10 kings are going to do something now to this great complex Babylonian system. It says, the 10 horns which you sawest upon the beast, these were whore. They didn't hate the whore at first. They loved her. They put up with her. They supported her. They were the ones who brought her into existence. They were the ones who sustained her in her intrigues against the people of the world that brought in the world government in the first place. But they are going to hate the whore. And they shall make her desolate and naked. They shall eat her flesh and burn her with fire. Now, why should they turn, then, upon the very institutions that they have helped to create? This is a great mystery, or is it? Well, it shouldn't be a mystery when a person looks at verse 17 of the book of Revelation, chapter 17, because it explains here why such a change of attitude and a change of mind coming into the minds of these 10 horns, or these 10 kingdoms. these 10 geographical or political powers in the world that helped to support the beast or the Babylonian's power in the first place, why they would turn on her at the end. Verse 17 explains why. And let's read it. For God hath put it in their hearts to fulfill his will and to agree and give their kingdom unto the beast unto the words of God shall be fulfilled. And the woman which thou sawest is that great city which reigneth over the kings of the earth. In other words, God is going to cause these 10 kings in charge of 10 political divisions throughout the earth who supported the beast power and Babylon at the beginning, he is going to cause them to change their minds and they're going to destroy her, Babylon, and the whole world kingdom. So this means that these 10 kings are very important in the divine scheme of things, particularly from a political and prophetical point of view. Now I ask you, who are these 10 kings? Many people, or 10 kingdoms. Many people have wanted to know over the years. And you know, they really are identified, at least the major power that brings together the 10 kings to destroy Babylon is absolutely, precisely, and clearly identified in Scripture. And most people haven't even looked in the right place. But there are two whole chapters in the book of Jeremiah. And after all, Jeremiah was the prophet who lived in the time of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon. He was the one who saw the head of gold to begin with. He was the one who witnessed the commencement of the Babylonian system, which has dominated world politics all the time from then until now. He was the one who saw all of these things in vision. He was the one who said Shishak, again the cipher for the name of Babylon, to come to an end. He also knew who would bring it to an end. And in the book of Revelation, we find that 10 kings will do it, but that God will put it in their hearts to do it, because they wouldn't want to do it ordinarily. After all, they were the ones that supported the whole beast system to begin with. But God is going to change their minds to cause them to war against their own creation. And their creation is Babylon, because God is going to get ready to establish a kingdom emanating from Jerusalem, which is based upon righteousness and is not based upon the evil systems of the Babylonians. And he is going to use powers on this earth to destroy the Babylonian kingdom just before he can establish his glorious kingdom on this earth to commence the great millennium mentioned in the Bible. Well, there are two chapters in the book of Jeremiah which describe very precisely who it will be who will lead these kings. The book of Revelation says there are 10 of them who will lead these kings to the destruction of the Babylonian system. And I'll tell you who they will be. They will be the powers coming from Iran. That's what it says in the Bible. Now, we're talking about Iran today in prophecy. And we're talking about it in news. And there are all types of things happening in the newspapers and in the newscasts about Iran. But people haven't really looked at Jeremiah 50 and 51 too much, because if they did and compared it with Revelation 17 about the 10 kings, they would have identified in clear, precise language the power or the nation or the people that will bring about the destruction of the Babylonian system, to make sure that the coming of Christ will be heralded by a cleaning up, shall we say, of evil on this earth. And the Iranians are going to have a part in it, if prophecy means anything at all. Look at chapter 50 of the book of Jeremiah. In verse 1, you'll read, "The word that the Lord spake against Babylon and against the land of the Chaldeans by Jeremiah the prophet." Now, this whole chapter here, chapter 50, is just one part of a long prophecy. In fact, what you have to do to get the whole prophecy in mind is to just read chapters 50 and 51 together of the book of Jeremiah. It is a prophecy that is very familiar, or shall I say very similar, to those that you will find in the book of Revelation. And indeed, some of the statements mentioned in the book of Revelation about the destruction of the Babylonian system at the end of the age come precisely from this area of Jeremiah 50 and 51. And yet the men or the people who are to bring these destructions to pass against the Babylonian system are identified in Jeremiah 50 and 51, but they are not identified in Revelation 17 and 18. Why doesn't John tell who they are? Because Jeremiah already told. It would just be a repetition. The people who will do the destruction against the land of the Chaldeans and the Babylonian gods and all of the evil that stemmed from the Babylonian system, they will come out of Iran. Verse 3 of Jeremiah 50. For out of the north there cometh a nation against her, against Babylon, which shall make her land desolate, and none shall dwell therein. They shall be removed, they shall depart, both man and beast. Now, it is true that the Persians took over the Babylonian Empire in the 5th century, or shall I say the end of the 6th century B.C. That's a matter of history. But still, Babylon was not destroyed at all by the Persians and the Medes back at that time. Jeremiah 50 and 51, though, speaks about a total destruction coming upon the Babylonian system, and it's not only going to involve the people out of the north country, that is, the Medes and the Persians, as we'll see in a few moments, the Iranians, if we want to call them that, but it's going to involve whole nations of the earth. That's why in Revelation 17 it says that there are a combination of 10 nations who will support the Babylonian system at first, but will turn against her and attack her because God is going to put it in their minds to do it. And if you want a full dress rehearsal of what is going to happen, all you have to do is to read Jeremiah 50 and 51. Yes, verse 3 says, out of the north there shall come a nation against her, which shall make her desolate, that is Babylon, and none shall dwell therein. Go down to verse 9. And lo, I will raise and cause to come up against Babylon an assembly of great nations. Just not one now, but now great nations. The book of Revelation says 10 kings, and it involves the entirety of the world. They're going to turn against this Babylon, and God is going to cause them to do it according to the book of Revelation. For lo, verse 9, I will raise and cause to come up against Babylon an assembly of great nations from the north country. They shall set themselves in array against her. From thence, that is, out of the north, she shall be taken, Babylon will. Their arrows shall be as the mighty expert man. None shall return in vain. It goes on to say that this Babylon will become the hindermost of the nations. And that was prophesied. It's going to happen. She formerly was the greatest, the head of gold. She's going to come the least in esteem. Verse 13, because of the wrath of the Lord, it shall not be inhabited, but it shall be totally or wholly destroyed. Now that again is the nation of Babylon. It goes on to say that in verse 23 that a great hammer is coming, a great hammer of the whole earth is coming to cut asunder and to break the power of Babylon, and how Babylon shall become completely desolate. It goes on to say that the main reason why this destruction is coming upon Babylon is because they have been instrumental in causing a pollution of the sanctuary of God, a temple at Jerusalem. And by the way, when this Babylonian kingdom is finally in its full glory for 3.5 years, the beast power, the man himself, will call himself God, sitting in the temple of God at Jerusalem. And because of that, the desecration, I should say, the desecration of the temple at Jerusalem, God is going to bring upon the Babylonians these powers that supported them. We're going to see just exactly how thorough this destruction will be. In verse 38, it speaks about a drought coming upon the Babylonian waters, how they're going to be dried up. In verse 39, it speaks about wild beasts of the desert inhabiting the land of Babylon from then on. Wild beasts of the islands shall dwell there. Owls shall dwell there. It shall be no more inhabited forever or for the age. Neither shall it be dwelt in from generation to generation. Now, that never happened to the ancient Babylon because people have lived in it all the time. And I've been to where Babylon is at the present, and there are people living there. But there's a time coming when it's going to be totally destroyed. How much? Well, it says, as God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah and the neighbor cities thereof, shall the Lord destroy Babylon. So no man shall abide there. Verse 41, behold, a people shall come from the north, and a great nation, and many kings shall be raised up from the coasts of the earth. Now, that's important to realize. There is a nation coming out of the north to destroy Babylon, but it says he, or this nation, will have the kings raised up from the coasts or the ends of the earth to destroy this Babylon. That means the totality of the earth will be involved in this. That's why Revelation 17 says that the 10 kings, world empire kingdoms, will turn against this Babylonian system. And they're going to come for the destruction of the daughter of Babylon. In chapter 51, it goes on to say in verse 2 that God will empty their land. It says that all the earth is drunken in verse 7. In verse 8, it says Babylon is suddenly fallen and destroyed. Now look at verse 11. Jeremiah 51 and verse 11, here are where these people coming from the north are identified. Verse 11, make bright the arrows, gather the shields. The Lord hath raised up the spirit of the kings of the Medes, for his device is against Babylon, his desire to destroy it, because it is the vengeance of the Lord, the vengeance for his temple. It says that these kings will have great riches in verse 13. But these kings are going to be raised up from all around the earth for the destruction of Babylon. But who will lead the group in the destruction? It says in chapter 51 of Jeremiah, verse 11, the kings of the Medes, or as we would say today, the people of Iran. Now, does this mean that Iran fits into prophecy very prominently by the end of the age? The answer is yes, because even the Babylonian image in the plains of Shinar had the head of gold first. It was a lion, Babylon. Next, it had the breast of silver. That was like a bear. Medo-Persia, the very kingdom we're talking about. The next was a leopard, like a leopard, that is, a brass, which was like the Macedonian, Greco-Macedonian kingdom of Alexander the Great. And then we had the iron part and all of that finally coming down to the toes. But in chapter 7 of the book of Daniel, it makes it quite clear, verses 11 and 12, that all of these kingdoms will exist together at the end of the age. That means the Babylonians will be there. That means the Persians will be there. And the Greeks are going to also be in power, along with Syrians and Egyptians. All of this focus is in the Middle East. So all I can say is, let's watch this very volatile area, because it is politically and prophetically the most important region in the world that we could watch at this time, if we're going to bring Bible prophecy into focus. And who is it that represents one of the major kingdoms, major peoples of the world, which will have a profound effect upon the history of the world in the years just preceding the second coming of Christ, and to be instrumental in helping Christ to destroy the entire Babylonian system, to bring in the world government under Christ that is supposed to be here and prophesied? It will be the nation of Iran. You and I today do not know what will happen to Iran tomorrow, or the next day, or maybe next week, or maybe next year. But one thing is for certain, if Bible prophecy means anything at all, no matter what happens next week or next year, keep your eyes on that country, because out of it will come one of the most important prophetical events ever mentioned in the Bible. The destruction of the Babylonian system, and the people responsible will be those of Iran.